5:40 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We have been spending this hour, we will continue to spend all the hours of our show today talking about the resignation of the Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. He is, of course, he has been appointed as caretaker PM for the time being, but he did announce his resignation today at 3. And this is, of course, not the first of the sort of political turmoil-ish headlines that we've been hearing over the last few months. So we wanted to look at how that might be impacting markets and investor sentiment. But we'd also like to hear from you in general. How are you feeling today? How do you feel after that announcement? And also, who do you think should be the next Prime Minister? Share your thoughts. Call us 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at PFM Radio. Joining us now, though, to talk about investor sentiment is Pankaj C. Kumar, a financial market columnist. Pankaj, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Lee.
So firstly, how do you see markets reacting to this in the next few days?
Well, first of all, a very good evening to all. I think, well, today we saw initial reaction from the market when the market opened, but of course it recovered much of the early loss and just closed marginally lower. But I think for today, it was not just Bursa that is down, the rest of Asian markets too were down. Yeah, to a certain extent, perhaps it's a reflection as to what's happening geopolitically, as you have seen what happened in Afghanistan. And of course, maybe perhaps to a certain extent, some nervousness in the market ahead of FOMC meeting later this week. And last weekend, consumer sentiment data out of US was at the 11-year low. Yeah, so some nervousness in the market is not really entirely due to the political uncertainty that we have seen today. But of course, I think as far as the political situation, the issue whether the PM commands the majority of the lower house has been a long-drawn question mark. Yeah, so hence, the market, perhaps to a certain extent, was not entirely surprised by the Prime Minister's move to tender his resignation this morning. And now we also know that he has been tasked to be the caretaker PM. I think looking at the regional market, of course, I think it's more because of the situation, geopolitical risk.
So let's talk about the question of political stability or the lack thereof in general, right? We often talk about this affecting markets as well as investor sentiment. How do you see today's announcement playing out in both of those areas?
I think obviously no investors like political uncertainty, yeah? In particular foreign investors. And I think there's been discussed many times that foreign investors has been net sellers in the market for a long time, yeah, and they continue to do so. We have, as I said before, actually Malaysian market has become more or less a marginalized market and unloved for a while now. And we have moved from being a market that commands a premium valuation to a market that is trading at a discount, yeah? So it's also about certainty in terms of policy measures, yeah, implementation of these policies and reforms that our institutions need to play catch up with the rest of the world. So as far as market is concerned, this political uncertainty is something that is hanging in the balance as far as direction is concerned.
And do you think that there is going to be a difference when it comes to impact if we look at equity or fixed income investors?
I think the sensitivity on the equity market is more rather than the fixed income market. Fixed income market tends to be more stable in that sense, driven by different factors, more about macro, bigger pictures in terms of interest rates, in terms of inflation, in terms of currency, and of course, what's happening in the US as far as the US Treasury rates are concerned. But equity investors are a bit more sensitive in the sense that, you know, it affects sentiment more when it comes to political uncertainty.
Now, if we take a longer view of things, especially given the fact that since 2018, these fluctuations haven't really been an uncommon thing. Do you think foreign investors have become numb following the changes of government that we've seen?
Well, perhaps, but it's rather sad that while we had a reset button in 2018 through GE14, it was taken away by acts of defection, and a new government was then formed last year. Just like in the movies where we see a sequel after sequel, what is happening today is almost similar to what happened in February 2020, except we have not seen defections yet, but at least a resignation of the Prime Minister due to loss of majority has taken place. So to me, I think it's not that the investors are numb, but they are more like frustrated that we can't get our act together.
So we are still in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, you started off our chat by referencing the fact that even globally, we are seeing all sorts of shifts, all sorts of uncertainties. And here, aside from politics, we've got the pandemic. We're still in some state of lockdown. How does this factor into the question of market confidence?
Yeah, I think market confidence is perhaps at the low end. As I said, it's reflected as far as market performance is concerned. And you can also see, whether it's in Asia, of course, the more developed markets in Europe and US, markets are thriving because of liquidity factor, momentum is building up in terms of economic growth. But we have gone the other way. And of course, the lockdown is not helping economic activities at all because economic activities are disrupted by these lockdowns. And we can see the impact coming. Of course, we just had the second quarter GDP data that was released on Friday. But going into the third quarter and into the final quarter, I hope that we see some turnaround with our very good vaccination rates that we have achieved in the past month or so. And I believe that with vaccination drive taking its precedence and sustaining itself in terms of numbers, we will see economy opening up again, especially perhaps later part of third quarter, maybe September and early October onwards, things can start to open up. And I think Malaysia should go back to some sort of sustainable growth going into the fourth quarter.
Taking all these factors into account, what would be needed to restore market confidence and to revitalize our capital markets?
I think we need to get our politics right first. I think politics has been disrupting as far as our direction is concerned. We need to instill institutional reforms in various segments of the government's laws that will prevent party hopping. I think something that was also mentioned by the Prime Minister last week when he tried to extend an olive branch, talking about anti-party hopping laws. We need blueprints to revitalize our economy in all fronts, like in the high-end manufacturing segment. We need to jumpstart our agriculture sector to be more vibrant. We need to stop flip-flopping in our policies in terms of direction. Like the one that we saw perhaps last week, we have this Malaysia, my second home, and suddenly you come up with a scheme that is totally uncalled for, So I think that's not very nice as far as the way investors perceive what we are doing. We need to attract, of course, more high-end FDIs. We need to have stricter labor laws. Other areas we can perhaps address, we need to raise our minimum wages. Wages has been a sore point for Malaysia. We need to address our public education system as well. We have been, to a certain extent, left far behind in terms of addressing our level of education in when you compare to the peers. We also need to address a lot of issues related to perhaps even the property market in terms of the overhang that we have, or home ownership, which we try to encourage more people to own homes. We need to improve the ways, and of course, to improve the labor market. Youth unemployment is a serious issue. So we have a lot of structural issues that needs to be addressed. And this requires serious thinking, not just short-term gap measures. We need medium and long-term measures. And that's where perhaps, as you know, the 12 Malaysia plan is supposed to be tabled next month. And I think that will perhaps spell out some of the strategies that the government intends to carry out over the next 5 years.
So in line with that then, do you expect the 12 Malaysia plan as well as the upcoming budget to be adversely affected by what's happened today?
Well, there are indeed two key events that market is looking for the next couple of months. I think as far as the 12th Malaysia plan is concerned, much of the work has been done. It's only a question of tabling it in Parliament. But for budget 2022, I'm afraid we may need to go back to the drawing board, depending on whether we have a change at the top, who is the ninth Prime Minister, and whether there's going to be changes as to who holds the Finance Ministry post, and whether we're going to see changes in policy direction. Yeah? So I think that one may see some tweaks between now and at the time when the budget can be presented in Parliament.
I also wanted to touch on the multiple GLC and GLIC appointments that we've seen in the past few months. Are you anticipating any reversals on those?
Well, again, this will depend as to who will lead the next government, really. If the government remains under Perikatan Nasional, but an UMNO-led Prime Minister, I expect status quo. However, having said that, it's an honourable thing for these appointees and even those that were appointed as senators, so they can take up ministerial position to actually resign, because their appointment were actually effected because of the Perikatan Nasional's government.
How do you see the Perkukuh initiative going then in the midst of all this?
I think this was just announced last week. So I don't see really that to be affected. Those should not be impacted as the government has put in the effort for it. And I think the GLC or GLICs are rather committed to the plan that has been formulated long before that. So I don't see that as an issue.
Pankaj, what would you like to leave us with?
I think the question that I think everybody have in mind is the political impasse. How do we solve our issue? I think it is hoped that once a new PM is chosen, he or she is given the full support from all members of parliament to bring the country out of this predicament of the pandemic and economic uncertainty. The new prime minister, in fact, I believe similar to what Tan Sri Muhyiddin was trying to extend, the new prime minister can do the same, extend an olive branch to the other side of the aisle by entering into a confidence and supply agreement. This confidence supply agreement is a short-term measure to address the political impasse and the nation until the time the nation is ready to go to the polls. This could pave the way for reduced politicking. I think that's what we want. We need to calm down the political temperature, so to speak. And perhaps a unity government can be formed whereby a major political parties are given government cabinet position based on the number of seats that they hold. And so one solution is to have, I think I've written about this as well, is to have, for every 10 seats that a political party holds, you have one cabinet minister post, and one deputy minister's post. So we don't want so many ministers. We have 220 MPs. We should just settle for 22 cabinet ministers from various parties. Make it a uniform, a unity government. So everyone has a say, and let the person who has the confidence among all the members of parliament to lead as the prime minister. So in that sense, I think we can set our direction straight. No more politicking until and unless we are ready for GE15. I think that's my take on it.
Pankaj, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was Pankaj C. Kumar, a financial market columnist, talking to us about how we might see markets reacting as well as investor sentiment to today's announcement and, of course, shaping our entire show. The Prime Minister has resigned. So we want to know what you make of that announcement, as well as who you think should or could be the next Prime Minister. That number to call, of course, 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.